Building a personal brand and professional network is becoming increasingly important in almost every career these days, and HR is no exception. But where do you start? How do you create a presence and grow your reputation in an overcrowded field? And how do you build a professional network that includes the right people? What is the role of mentors in your career, and how do you find them? My name is Skadiel, and I'm one of the founders here at Gusto. And today we are joined by Dr. Patty Ippolitti, professor at Columbia University, president of PI Associates, and previously the SVP of HR at Reebok. Dr. Patty, welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Besides Reebok, there's probably a list of a number more than that. Anyway, I teach. I have the opportunity and the privilege actually to teach at Columbia University, and I have a great client group going on with people from corporate America and doing executive coaching, leadership coaching, and consulting. So life is good these days.
Fantastic. All right. Well, let's get into today's topic, all about leveraging the power of your personal brand, network, and mentors. I'd like to start with a question here. Just what is a personal brand and why is it important?
Oh, that's great. So personal brand is like when you think about brands, of different companies and all, it's usually a few words. It's a slogan that kind of gets your head wrapped around certain things. It brings up certain characteristics. So I think it's important to get clear on what your personal brand is. It's almost like, you know, how a compass always points north as long as you're above the equator. Always points north. So it keeps you focused on what you're doing and what you're all about. So that's why I say the personal brand, it's not just something that when you go into a professional setting or something like that, you talk about it, but it's also your guidance, your north. It's your north. And how do you stay focused as you do things, as you make decisions, as you represent yourself? You know, are you being true to that particular brand?
Fantastic. So Dr. Patty, What is your personal brand?
I'm glad you asked. My personal brand is every day be the best version of me. And so I use that not just with me, but I use that with others because I think it's important that people focus themselves on what they have and what they can bring to a situation and to always continue to better that. It's not being the best version of, you know, your mom or your dad or your teacher or your coach or whatever it happens to be. Be the best version of you. And so that is my guidance to myself, but that is something that drives me. You know, when I think about the keys to powering up our career, I think about three things that really stem from every day being that first version of it. One is, you know, getting clear on what your personal brand is. Second is building your network. And third is really selecting the right mentors. And so I think we will have time probably during this podcast to get a little bit deeper.
That's fantastic. It makes me think about kind of all of the work. I spend a lot of time thinking about our company brand as the CEO here, right? And how we position ourselves in the market. And it, you're bang on there. It needs to be different. It needs to be short. It needs to be strong. And so, you know, on our side, we help companies build cultures where their frontline workers, you know, love to work. And so and when I think about kind of growing in the career side, it just makes so much sense to kind of have that, you know, similar vision. And so how does one kind of go about starting on that journey of kind of building their personal brand? It sounds like you had a very clear vision from a young age, but for HR folks kind of getting started in their career or might be in kind of, you know, mid-management level, what are the elements to kind of just starting out building that personal brand?
Yeah, I think you need to ask yourself, what am I interested in doing? What do I like? Where do I get joy? Where do I get joy? I'm going to use that word, joy. Where do I get joy about what I'm doing? Like I started out as a, you know, an HR manager or something less when I came out of my MBA program. You know, I think it was an HR manager. And you know, I kind of looked around. I said, you know, what is it that I get joy from? What do I enjoy doing? Enjoy. The word joy is an enjoy, by the way. So those are some of the things. And then I started saying, okay, I looked around. I saw people around me who I really wanted to be like, who I wanted to develop their skill sets, and they were people often who I watched other people look up to. People respected them. I watched how they influenced people. And so other people started to shape the world for me in terms of what I might need to develop and look like myself. So I would say, yes, some of it is internal work and some of it is external work, where you're looking at who and what do I want to be when I grow up? Seriously, who and what do I want to be when I grow up? And watching other people, seeing how they influence, seeing how they do things, seeing how they make a positive impact on people and things, and saying, how can I develop and emulate those skills in that thought process? So it's really kind of self-education if you think about it.
Recognition can play a crucial role in helping you engage and retain your employees. Check out the Ultimate Employee Recognition Playbook to learn how to implement an impactful program. Go to get.gusto.com/playbook to get your copy.
How would you say that your professional network has helped your career, Dr. Patty?
And as I respond, I want people to be thinking about not just inside the organization, but outside the organization. These ideas can be used on both sides. So, you know, and again, when you come into an organization, you know, you're going to come into whatever your unit is, your little family, your department, whatever. But it's important to build your network outside the organization with people outside your immediate department or your immediate area. So there's that side of it, you know, make connections with people, try to develop some mentors. I'll talk about that a little bit later. It's also important to develop your network outside the organization. And so in terms of doing that, it's important to create a professional, really professional and positive imagery of yourself online. Now, LinkedIn is probably the most widely used professional network today. So it's important to put a very, you know, professional, positive picture out there. I can't tell you how many times I say to people, I look at the picture and I go, oh my God. And I'll go back to them. These are some of your students or some of these are colleagues. And I'll say, this is not a dating site. LinkedIn is not a dating site. LinkedIn is a site for people to connect from a professional standpoint. So the way you dress, the way you look, it's amazing how people take their dating site pictures and they put them on LinkedIn. That's not the purpose. You should come across as positive and professional. So that's the first one. The second thing is getting involved in outside organizations and participating in conferences. You've got universities have different get-together, social organizations have get-together. Go to those organizations. Extend your network beyond the place that you work at. And be prepared. Like normally when we go into a conference, we have a name tag with whoever we work with. You know, go around, see where people work, see who you might want to know more about. You know, your biggest secret weapon is right here. It's the cell phone. Your cell phone is a secret weapon. So you might be walking around and you say, hey, let me look up Patty Epelivier. Who is she? So she does these things. So go up. You go, you look them up on LinkedIn and look for something in common. Because when you come up to a person, you know, they may already be surrounded by people, or then maybe they're not. You come up to something. You need to stand out in the crowd if there's a group around them. So you need to figure out, how can I get this person's attention? And if you can find something on LinkedIn, it might be you have a common, maybe you work for the same company, maybe you went to the same school, maybe you have some of the same people in your network, right? Something in common that you can say to that person to get their attention. And that's a great way to make a connection, okay? So first is your LinkedIn presence. Second is what you do when you get in there, right? And then third is like showing interest, show interest. Maybe you can't find anything of interest. Maybe you can't find common denominator. But that person may have been the speaker, or you may just have heard that person speaking to this group of people. What is it that they just said? Say something interesting. Show interest in order to be interesting yourself. I was standing in a group of people just a month or so ago. I was sitting with a group of people and I was talking and somebody said to me, came up to me and talked to me. And I noticed she had a beautiful pin. On the lapel of her jacket. And I said, that's a beautiful pin. And she said, oh, thank you. I said, where'd you get that? And we talked for a minute or two. The next day, she reached out to me on LinkedIn. Now, I had probably met 50 people that night before. She reached out to me on LinkedIn. She says, hey, Dr. Patty, we met last night. Thank you so much again for your compliment on my pin. Right away, I remembered who she was. So finding something of interest, some common denominator. It could be a school background. It could be a combination of company, maybe working in a company together, maybe have something in common. Use LinkedIn to figure out something in common. If you can't, when you go in, try to survey the room and figure out how you can do that. And how can you be memorable to the person you're speaking to? Okay? Okay, and then the third is leverage your network's network. You don't realize, people don't realize that they have this network, but their network has a network. So if you're looking for an opportunity, if you're inside an organization and you're looking for somebody to make an introduction to somebody else, right? Ask them, say, hey, Dr. Patty, could you introduce me to so-and-so? I see that, you know, you work with them on this in this department. Or if it's somebody outside the company, you know, ask for that again. Maybe somebody who knows somebody. It's always figure out how you can leverage. How do you leverage your network's network? So the first takeaway is, you know, create a professional appearance on LinkedIn. You know, the second is to really get involved, actively participate in networking events and things like that, where you can extend your networking, you know. And third is show interest in people, right? Show interest to be interesting. And then the fourth is leverage your network's network. And you will be pleasantly surprised if you just follow these couple of ideas, how your network will grow over time.
Yeah. It reminds me of the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Did you ever read that one?
Yes.
He talks a lot about just being genuinely interested in other people and how much that can kind of help.
Yes, exactly. Because we love to talk about ourselves, don't we? We really do. But the thing is, we love to talk about ourselves. And so what happens is when you show interest, and I mean genuine interest, not something, genuine interest in somebody else, you'll be surprised how you can that person will connect with you.
Totally. So do you have any stories, Dr. Patty, about how you leveraged your network to kind of advance your careers?
Well, what I used to do is I, first of all, when I was in my 20s and trying to figure out who I wanted to be my mentors and things like that, is I kind of looked around and I said, how do I get my network? And I was in a very large consumer products company at the time. I looked around and I thought, gee, who can I get to be my mentor? Because I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. I knew I wanted to be the chief HR officer at some point. I knew that in my early 20s. And I figured, how do I do that? And I have to do that by really learning how to be a business person. So I looked around. Some of my clients in that organization who were probably 30 years older than me, and they were men, and I became their coach and things like that. But they taught me the business. They actually taught me the business. And so because I spent time with them, giving them something, they were giving me something back. They taught me about business. They taught me about the politics in the organization. And from that point on, I think what I did is I started to build out my network internally. But when I went to organizations after that, when I went into new roles and things like that, I understood the importance of extending myself to create my network within that organization. And so it's a building process. You know, it's a building process over time. And I've been doing that since my 20s. Today, I teach my students to do that. I encourage my clients to do that. You know, I have actually gone to different professional associations and I've taken a couple of clients with me or a client with me, you know, where I'll take some students and I'll say, now watch how this is done. I have a kind of a funny story about an event that I had gone to with at Columbia. About a year ago, and we walked in, I was trying to teach one of my faculty members, one friend of mine, how to connect with her. And I looked around, I said, everybody's standing what I call a huddle, right? Everybody gets together with their friends and they're standing in huddles. I call them huddles. And I looked around and she's saying to me, how do we do this, Dr. Pai? I said, you just watch. I looked around, I said, the hardest huddle in this room to get into is the huddle over there with a bunch of guys who happen to be from our sports management master's program. I'm not sure if they were faculty or if they were students, but anyway. I knew they were the hardest group to break into because they were like really close together and they're talking sports and things like that, right? So I said, come on. So she goes, oh, no, let's pick an easier group. I said, no, let's go. Off we go. We go over. And I stood the outside of the group for a minute trying to figure out how I was going to break in. And I looked down and every one of them had white sneakers on. So I tapped the two of them on the shoulder, which where I was going to try to come in here. And I said, hey, guys. I said, obviously, I didn't get the email. We're supposed to wear white sneakers tonight. And they started laughing. And I said, I'm from this department. I said, you're from that department. I said, tell me about some of the stuff you're doing in your department these days. The huddle opened up.
I introduced myself, I introduced my colleague, opened up, and all of a sudden we were in the huddle. So it's just some of the, sometimes it's the silliest thing, but it's finding that thing in common. How do you break into the huddle? And then how do you get into the huddle? You show interest. And then you share things. And we walked away having some really good ideas about how our departments could work together. So there you go. That's just one example.
Fantastic. I love it. I'm smiling away, picturing you doing that.
We call it the white sneaker, story.
You mentioned mentors in there and the role that they kind of played in your career development. What did you look for in mentors? So if I'm kind of a younger kind of HR person, kind of starting out, what should be some of the criteria that I look for kind of in a mentor?
So I look for different people. I think I consistently have looked for, from the time I was in my 20s on, I consistently look for people who could teach me. And here's the key. It's you need to select someone, people, who see more talent and potential in you than you do in yourself, right? And so, especially when we're younger, because when we're younger, we don't really know, you know, are we talented? Are we not talented? We hope we are. So, you know, I started off looking for people who saw more talent potential in me than I did in myself. And it's really important to think about that, because if you find somebody who you find you're trying to sell yourself and sell, you know, trying to make them want to be your mentor, that's not going to work. You know, often if sometimes people just naturally will meet you and say, hey, this guy or this gal is really talented. I want to spend more time with them. They're interesting, right? Sometimes that happens. But I think you really need to select the person who knows, people who know that, who see more talent potentially in yourself. Number two, the best mentoring relationships are self-selected. Now, I've been in organizations for years, and organizations have, you know, done this mentoring program where they assign people and all this other stuff. I've seen how that's worked. I've seen how that's not worked, right? When the chemistry is there for both people, it really works well. So find mentors that, you know, self-selection is always the best one. And I have mentors outside the organization, right? And I mentor lots of people outside my organization. So I think it needs to be mutual, and it needs to be self-selected on both parts. The next thing I would probably talk about is that, you know, mentors should be other-centered, meaning, if I'm mentoring you, I need to be centered on you. It's not about what can I get back from you as the mentor. It's what can I give to you? How can I be? What do you need? What do you need? And how can I give that to you? I have met many self-centered people who claim to be mentors. And what happens is you get into meetings with them, and all they do is talk about themselves. Instead of understanding where you are, what you need, and how they can add that value to you. So find mentors who are other-centered, right? All right. And then, you know, I think, you know, reverse mentoring is important. So for example, I have found the last several years that by being open to the people I mentor, they actually mentor me around things. So I work now with a very diverse population now, and I'm learning all kinds of things about other cultures, and I love it. I go out, we have dinners together, we have lunches together, they introduce me to new foods, they take me and show me their cultures, you know, because I am really interested. Tell me about how this works in your country. Tell me about the food in your country. Tell me about what you're thinking about. And I'm learning from them. So I think it can be a really great mutual relationship, you know, and I would encourage people to look for those kind of relationships, whether you're the mentee or the mentor. Those are things that are important.
Yeah, and I think back kind of on my career, we had a great mentor when we started our first business. And I think, you know, beyond kind of just the personal dynamic, we got along really well. We were kind of interested in his background in business, as well as kind of his current lifestyle. We were living in Whistler at the time and really enjoyed skiing. He was into skiing. So we had a lot in common there. You know, I think the thing that really kind of like really made our relationship work really well was that he would share ideas and advice with us, and we would go in action on a lot of that and come back to him and just let him know, like, hey, we actually did some of the stuff that you were talking about, and here are the results. And so like we're kind of like closing the loop. It wasn't like he was giving us advice and it was going into some sort of vacuum. and he didn't have any sort of insight onto it. So like he felt like he was really helping because he could see, you know, the results that were coming from his advice.
That's great. Especially in the small business world too, because my dad was a small business owner. And at one point in time, I actually did a lot of coaching and a lot with small business administration companies. So for the SBA in the United States here. So I think, you know, there's so many opportunities for people to give back and to learn from each other. And so, but it's, you got to start the first step. The first step is reaching out. You have to reach out to people. And I mean, what I find myself doing is trying to give people that confidence to reach out. You know, most people are not going to say to you, no. You know, when you ask people, could you help me think of the three, could you share your career with me? People always share their careers, most people do, right? Could you share what you've learned in your life? Could you do this? Could you do that? People love to do things like that. Many of them do. So, and I think what happens is when you remember, be interested to be interesting, figure out what those questions are, see those questions with people, and you're able to develop a communication with somebody who was probably a total stranger to you before. So these are just kind of some of the things I try to teach our graduate students. I've worked with friends on, I've worked with clients on, and it really works. It really works. So hopefully you'll be able to, hopefully people will pull out some of the things we talked about today and use it in their own lives, their own professional lives.
Yeah. Can we go just a bit of a different direction here, Dr. Patty? How about on the organization side? Do you do any consulting with organizations on how they can support their employees in building networks and finding mentors? Have you ever worked with any of the kind of mentoring software? I know there's a company called 10,000 Coffees. There's another one, Kronos, I think I came across.
So what's happening now is, you know, what's been happening is, I know it still seems like it's more a human relationship connection. You know what I mean? Human relationship. But we've been seeing more technology coming into this area, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens with AI. Seriously, we could potentially have AI as mentors. Think about it. And that kind of is, you know, I said this the other day to somebody, and somebody says, oh, you're out of your mind. I went, no, look at how many other things are going on. This is with AI right now. AI can become a mentor for you at some point in time. It may be more directive for you and say, hey, you know, Dr. Patty, you should go and meet this person, that person, somebody else, you know. But I think AI is going to end up playing a role here. It's going to be very helpful for people. So there you go. The thought, I know there's software out there that's being developed and being, you know, pioneered right now. But I think with the evolution and the very quick evolution and integration of AI into our everyday lives, I think we're going to see AI taking a position here. I really do.
Well, we're probably not too far off from that. In the interim, are there things that you kind of advise organizations on kind of doing in order to kind of facilitate more networking, more mentorship?
Yeah, what I do is I talk to them about creating mentoring programs if they don't have one. I work with them on how do you create that program? What's important? How do you select the right people, especially in the beginning when you are, you know, when you're just rolling it out, you want to make sure that you're setting it up for success. Have the right people who are positioning themselves as mentors, bring in the right people, you know, for the mentee-mentor relationship. Do some education, do some training, because, you know, we don't know what being a mentor is. Many people don't know it. They read about it. But, you know, give the mentors some expectations about behavior and what to do, and do the same thing for mentees. So I think there's a whole piece about companies can set up a process around this and need to build some capability about the respective roles to make this a success. And then, of course, you know, it's always good to communicate those successes. So, you know, maybe what you do in your newsletters or your, you know, whatever you're doing in terms of news around people, maybe talk about some of those things. So, but I think the structure that organizations can provide here is, what is the process? You know, what are those, how can you match people up? I mean, a lot of bigger companies, mid-sized to larger companies are doing that these days. You know, they're setting these up. And that's what I'm saying. You know, remember, the best mentors are those who self-select. So maybe you create environments, right? Maybe you create, you know, cocktails after work or lunches or something where people could move around a room and get to know each other. And that way they could kind of figure out and do some self-selection that way, because those are the ones that work all the time. So I think there's a role that organizations can play here. And then, like I said, you should educate people on what the different roles mean. You should help facilitate the selection of mentors. And then, you know, tell some success stories about how they worked. These things always work for people. People love success stories, so go that way.
Well, we talked a little bit about being kind of the mentee and sharing some of your kind of activities, actions, successes back with your mentor. But you talked here about kind of like training mentors, about kind of what makes a great mentor. Is there any kind of, are there standout kind of like 1, 2, 3 things that you want to make sure that mentors?
I think the first one is listen. What a surprise, right? First one is listen. Listen to what the mentee is saying to you. Understand, ask some questions, understand understand what that other person is expecting of you. You know, are they expecting you to tell them what to do? Are they expecting you, which is not what you should do anyway. Maybe, you know, do they, you know, I use stories a lot. I use stories to convey what I'm trying to say. Some people do that. Some people are much more direct about do this, this, and this. So I think the important thing is in teaching mentors is to learn what questions to ask, so you know what your mentee is expecting. And you also will learn about them, the way they present themselves, the way they present their questions. You will be able to make an assessment. Do they have the right expectations of a mentor, for example? Are they thinking about this in the right way? Are these things that a mentor or mentee relationship could actually help them with? So, you know, it's like anything else. When if you're selling a product, you're selling a service, you want to find out what the needs of the other person is first. So same thing here. Find out what that is. You may decide as you get into it that you can really help this person. You know, you may decide based on what that person expects that you can really help them. But also there's another side of this. You may, as a mentor, say to yourself, I don't know if I can help this person or not. And, you know, you'd be doing a big service to both the other person and yourself. You say, you know what? I may not be the right mentor for you, but I know there might be some other people for you. And so, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I think a lot of people have a hard time doing, but that's true. So if you don't have the time, if you don't have the interest, if you don't have whatever it is that person needs, then, you know, say, I think, really enjoyed meeting you, but I think there's some other people I would like to introduce you to who could be, you know, more valuable mentors to you. So I think those things are important.
Fantastic. Well, Dr. Patty, it has been an absolute pleasure. I've got a ton of notes here. I look forward to kind of posting some of your insights on LinkedIn and sharing this podcast with our audience. If people want to get a hold of you, where's the best place to reach you?
LinkedIn would be the best place. LinkedIn. And I want to leave this with my favorite saying. I came up with this years ago. Every day, be the best version of you. I say this at the end of every my classes. I say this at the end of every presentation I make. Every day, be the best version of you. Don't be the best version of mom and dad. Don't be the best version of Dr. Patty or somebody else. Be the best version of you. And as you go through your life and figure out things from personal branding to networking to mentors and all these other things, be the best version of you. Don't try to be the best version of somebody else. That's what this is all about. Right?
Love it.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share these thoughts with you.
Oh, well, it's been our pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and great to connect again. Thanks for listening. If you got some value from this podcast and want to help other companies improve their culture, be sure to follow us and leave a rating and a review. Better yet, help us get the word out and share this show with your colleagues and peers. Mucho gusto.